This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. On this week's Compass, host Charlie Burmant discusses the state of the modern media with local journalist Bill Lindstrom and former Port Townsend Leader owner Scott Wilson, who along with his family is featured in Lindstrom's recently published book Straight Press, an exploration of the Northern Olympic Peninsula's rich journalistic history. So now let's go inside the Compass.
Welcome back to KPTZ. I'm Charlie Burmant here with a special news program talking to Bill Lindstrom, whose new Straight Press book is just out. It's a history of journalism on the Olympic Peninsula. And as an added bonus, we have former leader, publisher, owner, and Ayatollah Scott Wilson to chip in on that. This book is this huge volume. It's a history of journalism since basically the 1850s to the present.
Well, basically 1859 was when the first newspaper was established on the North Olympic Peninsula. That was the Register in Port Townsend. So it kind of starts there, but even the Squim portion dates back 14 million years.
14 million years, yeah.
To the discovery of mastodons.
Okay, right. Yeah, because they carved the little dispatches on their tusks. Yeah, I noticed the book cover has a list price of $30-some, $42.
Yes, Charlie. Yeah. That's for the hardback. It's a retail price, but we aren't selling that book for that much.
Sure. I actually bought it on Kindle for $4.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, something like a big old history book can cost you a lot, but maybe those of us who can handle Kindles can do that.
Well, it's available in both hardback. That price is for hardback, and the paperbacks are $19.
So you were telling me before we went on the air, I told you that I had bought it, and I had kind of read the Port Angeles and the Port Townsend chapters in detail, and I kind of glossed over the rest, and you said that the organization of the book was intentional for that.
It's so encompassing for all the way from Forks to Port Townsend is a pretty wide expanse. And I wanted to write it so that people could, that in Squim could pick up the book and read about Squim if that's all they were interested in. Or in Port Townsend, they could read about Port Townsend. Or if they're in radio and broadcasting, there's a whole chapter on broadcasting on the peninsula. So it was intentionally written that way.
Okay, so Scott, what was it like reading about you and your family in an actual book instead of a newspaper?
Well, I was really impressed with what Bill did. Bill's an experienced journalist and author. The project got started, I think, with your connection, Bill, with Brown Maloney, who was the driving force and I think the financier. But Bill came and talked to me and to Frank Garrett, and not just the two of us, but also to Fred Obey and Pat Sullivan and other people who've been connected with the leader over the years that I know about. And I've spent a lot of time with, I think, Tom Camfield and Tom's his own history books, but not knowing what to expect, but having sat through some enjoyable interviews. When I did pick up the book, I found that everything that he wrote that I knew about firsthand was very accurate, and he'd also done a tremendous amount of additional research just on his own in terms of state sources and whatnot, and not just about regional media, but also about just the history of, you know, Port Townsend, Jefferson County, and Clallam County. So I was impressed.
So he got pretty much facts about you correct.
He did. And he also has a couple pages on my parents and a page on my brother. I mean, he did a lot of work. He kind of followed the leads to where they went.
So you were a journalist for many hundreds of years and did lots of interviews. What was it like being on the other end?
Uncomfortable. Not something I enjoy. But as you know, Charlie, and here we are talking, the three of us journalists, you know, it depends on the intention of the interviewer. If you've got someone who is trying to do a good job and accurate and not necessarily have a hidden agenda, then it can be fairly easy. But we've all probably been in the other situation as well. So,
well, I was thinking more like when I was interviewing people, I'd talk to them for half an hour and maybe use a paragraph of what they had. I had to start out my interview saying, oh, well, you know, I'm going to talk to you for 20 minutes, but, you know, you got to be prepared.
No, he covered a lot of ground. I mean, Bill knew it. It was the section on Port Townsend, I think, is excellent. And there's also, I don't know, I'm guessing 8 to 10 pages in there about KPTZ, which is very up to date. It includes KPTZ's plans to move to Fort Worden, for example.
Sure. But writing about KPTZ or, you know, the leader or even the PDN, you know, they're still thriving to a degree. And so where do you end it? How do you know what to include and what not to include?
Well, that was one of the hardest things when I got down to writing, exactly what to include and what not. So I just tried to write what was interesting. And Port Townsend is really one of my favorite chapters that I wrote. I really feel that thanks to some wonderful interviewers, Scott included, but also some really in-depth research, I think I was able to bring the characters of Port Townsend, starting with one of the founders.
Alfred Plummer.
Okay. All I could think of was Alvin. Alfred Plummer Eisenbeiss, one of the first realtors who established blocks, actually, on the down by the water. And then some other interesting folks, such as Jack London, for instance, who stopped by on his way to and from prospecting in the Klondike. Incredibly ended up in, we don't know exactly why, but we can probably theorize what a young 20-year-old and time to kill on his way back from Alaska.
So he's
ended
in the town
up
tavern,
in the Port Townsend jail.
Still there. And,
so we didn't go to the town tavern. Okay, this is Charlie Burman on KPTZ talking to Bill Lindstrom, who wrote Straight Press, and Scott Wilson, formerly of The Leader. You're kind of a senior citizen, Bill, right? You started your journalism career in when? How old?
Well, incredibly, started my journalism career in the 8th grade when I asked somebody what that J word meant.
Well, actually, the question I wanted to ask you was, you know, you're kind of an older person. How did you do this? Did you take notes? Did you tape? Did you transcribe? I mean, what was the process here?
I'm long beyond just taking notes. I must tape. I do not trust being able to read my handwriting in that. No. Many, many, many tapes. I think last count I had like 62 or something like that.
Transcribing is a big pain in the neck, isn't it?
Transcribing is a pain in the neck, but at least you have it right.
There's someone in our, you know, scope of elected officials who seems to say that the press is the evil empire. I'm wondering what kind of attitudes, questions you're picking up about the press, say in the last forum or say just around, how people are feeling about their media. Scott could start. You could say, how has it changed?
Well, you know, as we all know here, community media is a slightly different beast than, you know, the CNNs and the New York Times of the world in that, you know, our job is to be integral and deeply involved and know all about our local community. We're not really focused on things beyond the county borders all that much. Slightly different for the PDN, which does run wire stories of national news. I still think there's a high degree. It's sort of like everybody hates Congress, but they tend to like their congressional representative. There's still a fairly high degree of trust in local media because people tend to know who those people are, and they certainly know how to track them down on the street or in the grocery store if there's something they didn't like. The way I've always thought about it is there's still a cycle that is complete. There's a circle. There's you write something or you publish something and then you talk to the people you wrote about and the people who read it and rely upon it. Whereas I think on a national level, that cycle is broken or maybe never even existed. I know there's obviously, I mean, everybody loves to hate their local paper. All of us are probably well familiar with that as well, but they still read it. And for the most part, I think they rely upon it. The North Olympic Peninsula has been extremely fortunate compared to other parts of the state or the country in that the primary local media have been run by journalists as opposed to run by people who are primarily in it for advertising and business. That was the case with the PDN, Charlie, when you worked there with John Brewer, and that was certainly the case with The Leader.
But it's not true anymore.
It is, and things have changed. And I thought it was interesting that you asked Bill where his book ended. Well, coincidentally, it ended sort of with a change of ownership in all three of the Clallam newspapers, the Gazette, the PDN, and the Forks Forum. And likewise, it ended sort of with a change of ownership in The Leader.
And when did you write that about The Leader?
Well, the book was a 3.5-year project. The Leader was after Lloyd Mullen and his brother became owners and Scott had sold. I had most of that chapter written up to that point. In fact, when I heard that Scott had sold, I was stunned because it wasn't all that long before that I had interviewed him. The goal was to try and get everything up to date as possible.
The Leader has had some bumps over the past 2 years, since changing ownership. They've had 100% turnover in their personnel. I don't know. It seems like the real story isn't in your book of what's happening over there.
I'm not too sure about that, Charlie, because Lloyd was quite candid with when I interviewed him, and he admitted that he had a very, very rough first year, and it was a learning process for him. But thanks to Scott and others, I think he's kind of turned the corner. He also explains in there how his staff differs from what Scott had and the reason for that. Yes, there's transition. I think that he was very candid. I know they've had quite a few editors since I interviewed Lloyd. I think they're still looking for the right fit in that department.
Well, they seem to have stabilized, actually, editorial in the past few months. And Lloyd came on here, KPTZ, a few weeks ago and said that he was really young and wet behind the ears and he made some mistakes. He said part of the problem was a large staff turnover, although he did not seem to really take any responsibility for that. Not to go too far down that path, maybe, Scott, if you can tell me what your perception of it is over there.
Well, Charlie, I heard that interview with Lloyd, and I talked to Lloyd once every 2 or 3 weeks. He did take responsibility for it. He said that he was new and basically mistakes were made, and he was impatient. That's a version of what happened there. Like you said, and like I think Bill's alluded to, the newsroom at the Leader has really been beefed up, and they do have a permanent professional editor. They have 2 or 3 good reporters. They've got a good copy editor. So the journalistic part of the operation is much better than it was 6-8 months ago. Sure. And I think the community can see that, or they will if they pick up the paper again.
Well, the thing about the Leader, I mean, it's practically 150 years old, and it's this institution. They have to really make some serious, serious errors for people to abandon them or for it to shut down. So, I mean, in a sense, it's a newspaper, but also in a sense, it's a monument.
It's a longstanding institution. And at the same time that we're focusing on issues at the Leader, at the same time, as we all know, the Gazette in Squim, the Daily News in Port Angeles, and the Forum in Forks, all were sold as a package. Well, not really as a package, but 2 transactions announced on the same day.
Yeah, that neither one knew about.
Yeah, to this gigantic corporation, which is called Black Press in Canada, 150 titles, and their Sound is their Northwest subsidiary in the U.S. You can still go to the owner of the Leader and you can complain to him about what's going on, but you'd have a heck of a hard time finding the owner of the PDN to complain about what's going there. I'm just saying that in spite of some transitional pains, I think there's still an advantage to local ownership of local media.
What is your assessment of the current state of our local media, the PDN, the Leader, KPTZ, and all the other little web pages that are springing up?
Well, I think all of them in their own way are working through the transition with corporate ownership. I will say that David Black, owner of Black Press, which owns Sound Publishing, was very candid in explaining his process and how he goes about purchasing newspapers, what he calls cluster strategy of management. You're right, you do have a hard time finding the publisher for Port Angeles for the PDN.
Yeah, because he's in Paulsbo.
He lives in Paulsbo. He's here every now and then. His job is widespread, not only as publisher of the PDN, but also Squim and Forks, the 2 Kitsap papers, and now also 2 in Alaska. But what I've tried to do in this book, I think I did a pretty good job of it. I will just say that I document everything so that people can't come back and say, well, you made that up. That's fake news, as the term is today. That's what I try to do. I try to make it interesting. I try to make it all-encompassing, and I try to make it real.
Well, I think, Bill, you did a great job. And there's parts of it that are sort of lists of newspapers that have come and gone, which fascinatingly in Port Townsend was something like 20 or maybe 30 even over the early years.
Excellent.
Okay, well, this is Charlie Berman at KPTZ talking to Bill Lindstrom and Scott Wilson about journalism on the Northern Olympic Peninsula. Thank you for listening.
This week's Compass was originally broadcast live on February 28th and was written and produced by Charlie Berman and edited by Alex Henley and Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and repeats the following Saturday at noon. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ Live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Compass Executive Producer Steve Evans.